Greetings in Jesus' name. We're glad to be here with you. We sang the song, Brother Chris read the song, Faith of Our Fathers. And I was struck with verse 3 this morning, and I don't know, is this a change in this song? Was it always this, or is there a verse added? And you might set me straight. But I had never seen this or recall seeing this in this song. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win our neighbors. I have never noticed that it says to win our neighbors. And I don't know, is there words changed in this song? Sometimes that is done. And then it says, believing they shall then be free. That phrase was new to me too. Now, I would just like if somebody would do a little research on this song. Has it been altered from what it usually is or not? I don't know. You would guess he added it. Okay. So I was kind of wondering what did we sing in the past, but this flew in my face this morning. And anyhow. Well, I think it's kind of high time that I preach to you this morning. I talked to Ellis yesterday, and I told him, I said, I have not preached a full message in Cross Point since I was with you in Belize. And he said, what? Well, it's just the way things worked out. And we had a visiting ministers one time and so on. And so this is how it is. We invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5. Brother Kim has... Chris has mentioned what the text would be, and it's actually since April that we have looked at 1 Thessalonians 5 to work at this series. Now, we have a message today and then probably another message or two yet to finish the book of 1 Thessalonians. this morning, we want to look at verses 12 and 13. It reads like this, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, it is always the best when this text is preached to you by a visiting minister, not one of us speaking to you. And so please forgive me. But I do want to share with you some thoughts, and not all of these were originally by me, some, and neither is it like the original one. Okay, and so we want to look at this scripture. We want to look at the aspect of knowing those who labor among you. Now, we're having camping next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and my wife and I are not campers, but let me don't get your feathers ruffled up right now, because Marianne and I enjoyed last year's camping out very much, and now we're looking actually forward to this, because it was such a time of relaxation and just sharing among us and just being there in an informal setting. And we really enjoyed that. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I think in this last year's session or that camp out, I learned to know some of you better than I've ever known you before. And maybe you can say that about me. I don't know. And so that is part of learning to know us. You know, we sometimes we look around and we as ministers and we see that there are sometimes too many churches that have negative community dynamics. And sometimes we see that there are factions in churches, and other times there are judgmental attitudes being displayed, and sometimes even power struggles. And those things should all be negative or absence in a truly brethren that are united or that are joined together. Those attitudes and things should not be present there. And we need to have a healthy church in order to show people the way to Christ. And so we have to work together to achieve this. Now, Paul says here, we beseech you, or he beseeches us, or them, to know the brethren who work among you. Now, the word beseech means to, he desires that you would know us, or that he prays you to know us. The word pray there as to request, and so on. And so, we also realize that we desire to be known among you. I personally feel that you as a congregation do not know us three ministers as well as you could or should. I'm not trying to run you down. I'm just expressing myself. I'm saying this to encourage you to learn to know us better. And I understand that I have to use names this morning. Brother Paul and Tim, you are different personalities than I am. I'm more closed and I'm more personal, and you're more outgoing. And I realize that maybe you don't understand or don't feel like I do sometimes. But I'm a little more closed. You have to work a little more harder to understand or to get to know me. That's just my personality. And so I lay that out to you, too, that it's not all your fault. Some of it's my fault. So how do you learn what our vision is or our desire is if you don't know us? So I think we as ministers here, we want to open ourselves up to you so that you can learn to know us better. You have to ask us sometimes. Sometimes we share and sometimes we're silent. But you can ask us. We're always open for dialogue. And that's what we need to be. We need to be transparent to you so that you can see us. Now, there are six areas that we want to look at. And the first area that we want to look is the pastor's vision. The second one, the pastor's soul. The third one, the pastor's ministry. The fourth one, the pastor's life. Fifth, the pastor's message. And sixth, the pastor's impact. And we need to hustle to get through this. But in Proverbs, now let's talk about our vision, the pastor's vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, If we look at another translation, there might be saying like this, there is no understanding of the word of the Lord. Excuse me. Where there is no understanding of the word of the Lord, the people do whatever they want to, but happy is he who keeps the law. And so we feel that is probably a better outlook of this, what this is meaning. If there is no understanding of the word of the law or the word of God, the people do what they want to do. But happy is he who keeps the law or the word of the Lord. What does our vision need to be? Now, we have made a statement at Cross Point here, what our vision is. And that was a good exercise to do. We need to read that and remind us occasionally of what that vision is. Now, what our vision needs to be, we need to be what God wants the church to be. Number one. Number two, we need to be what God wants the church to become. Three, what is the core conviction of for this church to become? Now, I think we rewrote that out in hard copy so that we can read it and study. But that is not necessarily complete in all aspects. And so we need to enlarge that. We can enlarge that. Number four, we need to clarify our vision for the church. And we must be resisting our vision for the church so that it doesn't become our personal vision, but that it becomes Christ's vision, what he really wants for the church. It is sometimes ironic that how this works. The pastor wants to lead forth in this vision, and there are other people who want to resist that vision because it's not necessarily their vision. And so sometimes he resists the leading of a vision out to fulfill a vision, and then on the other hand, he's also chafing because nothing is done. So there's a twofold vision and a working together that needs to be done to have a vision accomplished. Trust comes slowly. You must allow your pastors to lead and allow ours and your vision to fill the church and all its ministries. It is more difficult than you can imagine. This is due in part because of the change it brings, and change is hard. A pastor's life and passion and perspective will have a ripple effect in the church. Our passion for what the church can be and our passion for what the church can do and our passion for who it can affect. And it could even affect you. And that's sometimes where the rub comes in, when it starts to affect you. I want to look at our pastor's soul. Number one, pray for us. I don't mean that you just pray for us and put us on a prayer lift and you go through there once a week and make sure that you mention our names. No. I really mean that I want you to pray for us every day in sincerity and really beseech God for us. That you passionately pray for us in specific ways. Number one, that we would be broken before the cross of Christ. Number two, that we would be humble before the glory of God. Number three, for our servant's heart before the people of God. And number four, for our hope for the power and the promise of God. And number five, for the protection of our family and while we are in the service of God. Pray for us that we would love the truth and that we would be sincere and intense in loving the truth. Pray that we would be no respecter of persons, but that we would speak the truth even to you. And that we would speak the truth to you regardless who you are, and regardless of what status you have in the church, regardless how much money you put in the office or the offerings or whatever you do, so that we could speak the truth and that we could be honest with you. Pray that we love Christ more than we love you. Not that we don't want to love you, but our love for Christ needs to be foremost, because the love of Christ then displays our love to you. We need to love Christ more. And as we love Christ more, we love men more. And this can be for the good of the people. So pray for our passion for Christ. Pray for our souls. Ministry is a lonely place. It is a strange world of crowded isolation. You may befriend him or a pastor in some severe, insincere ways, but do you really know him? Do you really know the purpose and the passion of his soul? You have to realize that most likely his true confident friend is his wife. That's where he pours out his heart to. You can befriend us in such a way that we can be ourselves to you. You don't befriend us to pump out of us information. No, that's not what type of friendship we need. We need people who encourage us. There's things that happen in church life that we don't share with you. We share among ourselves. And we shield people. But you need to befriend us so that we can be encouraged. Pray for our strength. We need strength. We have a feeling of inadequacy all the time. Or at least I do. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by our responsibility and what we are supposed to be doing and can't, or fall short. We realize how limited we are. And so please pray for us that in our inadequacy we can depend upon Christ and God for his strength. Pray for us that we could be humble and depending on God's strength. The sooner we realize our sense of inadequacy and our constant need to depend on the help of our Heavenly Father and his Son Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, the smaller the I becomes in our life. So pray for us that we seek the approval of God at all times and be less dependent upon the praise and approval of men. Now we want to talk a little bit about the pastor's ministry. View us pastors as shepherds and not as personal chaplains. You know, we know people who are chaplains at prisons, and they work there. They have a work to do there. But in a church, the pastor should be a shepherd and not a chaplain. Now, as we look at the unique challenge of a chaplain is duty-bound to serve the rotating needs of the specific class of people that he's working with. So when there is a prison chaplain, he's ministering to the needs among those people. And he ministers to the needs of the things that happen in their life. And often he ministers to things that are reactionary or that are that are comfortable to the inmates. And he's always there and he just serves them. Now, so a chaplain is bound to people's wants and happenings in their life. But a pastor, on the other hand, is a shepherd, or he is shepherding people. So a shepherd takes all the unique needs of a various group of people and various stages of life, and he leads them to one ultimate solution, that is Jesus Christ. So a shepherd is leading his people. He looks at the flock and he says, here, this brother needs food. This sister needs water. This one needs a bandage. This needs comfort. This needs help. This needs rest. This needs exercise. And so as you look at that, the shepherd is trying to lead all his sheep or all his church members into one ultimate solution, that is to know Jesus Christ better. A shepherd moves you all along towards Jesus, helping you to see real needs and walking with you in your journey. A shepherd is not standing still waiting on you, but he is leading you away from self, away from the world, and towards Jesus Christ. It's not all about how the shepherd can make you a better person or lead you away from your problem. It's about the shepherd leading you to the only one who can do that, and that is Jesus Christ. It's about the shepherd leading you to the place in life where you can feed on the Word of God, where you can personally worship and pray and communicate with God in a very personal way. That is what pastors are trying to do, is to shepherd you and to lead you to Jesus Christ, our mediator between God and man. The one who, when he saw Stephen being stoned, he was standing at the right hand of the Father and looking on and seeing what was going on. I like what Paul Beecher said. He was giving him, there was a needed help or grace or whatever Jesus was extending when Stephen looked up there and he saw Jesus standing. Usually we refer to him as sitting at the right hand of God, but here he was standing. Number four, the pastor's life. Be an encouragement to your pastor. We need to have friends, and we need to be encouraged. We need the time sometimes to just spend with people and just interact with them on a very secular level. You need to learn to know that we are human. You need to know that we are fallible. You need to learn that we are not super spiritual. We are just another human being. You know, you need to know that we can put on a front of a front. And sometimes you need to be able to learn to come behind that front and really reach us. We pastors naturally fear exposure. This is because most often the pastor suffers the most pains at the hands of those who know him the best or are closest to him. And over time, letting our guards down is a frightening prospect. And so please pray for us. Please learn to know us better. We know that we are valuable and transparent, and we need unconditional love. We ask that you would be our friends in such a safe way that we can be transparent. A pastor's message and admonishment. Pray that our sermon would always be redundant, proclaiming one overreaching message from every text that he preaches and whatever principle or wisdom is put forward. Pray that every message you hear from this pulpit is wrapped around the same redundant theme, the glory of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Pray that every message hold forth the sacred redemption of Jesus Christ so that you may marvel at it and learn to experience the joy and that satisfaction and that unction to tell the good news again to other people. Pray that we are a record scratched exactly at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Pray that we would never get over, get past, get to the bottom of, or never get tired of the glorious news of the accomplishment of God in Jesus Christ. Pray that your preacher aids you in the constant rediscovery of the absolute, unending spectrum of glorious truth that is within the inspired Word of God and its singular message spanning from Genesis to Revelation. It is not a story about what man do for God. This is not a message about how man got to God. This is not a story about how man sought after God. This is a story about how God gets to man, how God satisfies his own requirement on man's behalf and for his own glory. Pray that this message never ceases to amaze those men who are your pastors, and that we need to share that again and again and again. Now the impact, number six, the impact of your pastors. To be really impacted by your pastors, we as pastors need to be reading and meditating. We need to be inspired and search the inspired Word of God so that we understand the Word of God better. We need to have an inspiration, understanding of the Word of God so that we can be a shepherd, a servant shepherd of this local church. We need to be able to understand the Word of God and to be open to its truth. We need to be in such a way tuned to the Word of God that we do not let certain things that we've done in our past designate or rule over our lives, that if we see the Word of God teaches us different, then that we are willing to change and do what the Word of God says. And so, impact, so this can impact your lives too. There's nothing wrong with so-called tradition, but sometimes we see people who have put tradition in such a place that they do things just because they have always done it that way, but they don't know why they did it that way. And so when if we are in that mode or in that thing, and the God and the Word of God teaches us a different way to do it that is scriptural, then we need to be open to that. We need to be aware of that and look at that. We need to know that just because we grew up in this area, we think this way, does not mean that people 10 miles down the road will do the same thing, because they grew up a different way and they are thinking different things. When I go down to Belize, where my son is, I need to be constantly aware that they think completely different than what this man does. Sometimes we look at change as a compromise, but we can't do that. We need to take change by the Word of God and look at it squarely from that viewpoint. Tradition has a way of making people feel safe that they are doing it right, but their heart has not been changed by God. They've been taught to do it this way, and so they do it this way by culture expression. That can lead us astray and give us false hope. So we have to be aware of that. And so we have to look at the Word of God and come up with a standard or a way of life that does not conflict God's Word, but enhances, is seen as lining up with God's Word. So we need to be a steward of God, and let us work together to impact the world around us by following Jesus Christ. Now we see here in verse 12 yet, it says there, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and establish them very highly in love's sake for their work's sake. And then verse 13, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, as you look at the Word of God, we see that this is an important part of being a Christian people, believers of God. And Jesus talked about that very fact in Mark 9, verse 50. He says like this, salt is good, but if the salt has lost his saltness, wherewith will we season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace one with another. And so again, Jesus was saying that we need to have peace one with another. Salt is good, yes. But if it is lost its savor, it is not good for anything, then it really doesn't do us any good. But we are to have peace one with another. Then Paul wrote to, or the writer of Romans, I should say, wrote in Romans 12. He said it this way, Romans 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Again, that phrase of living peaceably with all men. But he does make an exception. It sounds as though Paul is saying there are times when it is not possible. Is that how we conclude it? It says, but if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So we conclude that there might be times when it is not possible to do that. But he is saying, do it as much as you can. Work at it. And don't just do it once, you know, just try it once, but try it again and again so that there can be peace to be reigning. Romans 14, verse 19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Yes, follow things that make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. And again, we see it is a working together. It is not just an individual action, but is usually working together. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says like this, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, you know, and when we put away childish things, that helps us to live among each other in a peaceful way. We don't decipher, or we don't determine, or are determined to have our own way when we put away childish things. We give in. We give others. We give our meanings for better ones, and so on. Hebrews 12, verse 14 also says like this, follow peace with all men and holiness. Peace, holiness, run together. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's quite a challenge for us, so that we follow peace and holiness. It is a way to the Lord. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your love and mercy. We thank Thee that You are a Father, and that You care for us. We pray for the congregation here. We pray that You would bless them. We pray that You would be with them, and that they could hunger and feed after the Word of God. Hunger after it and feed on the Word of God. We pray that You would bless them throughout this week, as they go about their way, as they have their morning devotions, or their private devotions, I should say. Lord, and as they read the Word of God, may You feed them. May You minister to them, and that they could be still and listen to the voice of God through the Word of God. And as they meditate and then speak to God and request and praise You, may You bless them. May You be with them. We just commit them to Your care, and to bless them that they could grow in the grace of God. We just give our hearts as ministers to You, as pastors to You, so that we could always be humbled, that we could always be humble and open and share and lead and shepherd as you call us. We find ourselves inadequate. We find ourselves sometimes struggling, not knowing how. May you guide us. May you be with us. We just commit this service to you for your glory and honor. May you be praised. May you be honored. We just commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.